So let's get the show started. Earth to Paul Smart. Earth to Paul Smart. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm orbiting. I'm doing well.
Ah, he is there.
Phoning in from Virginia, where it's in Catskill. It's a school holiday week, so Milo and I skedaddled down to my mother's in Virginia, so he could spend some time there. Because I'm still working this week, and if it's made it a little bit easier, we can combine a grandparent visit with work.
And I take it, Marlo is taking full advantage.
Yes, he is. but keeping up with the news and stuff. And you're right. It seems that every holiday now, half people are working, half people are not.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, it
and
used to be.
It has nothing to do with the amount of pay that people are getting. It has to do with the way our workaholism as a culture.
Yeah, it used to be if it was a federal holiday, it was a holiday. But we don't know what the heck it is now anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they are federal holidays, but a lot of places just don't pay attention to that anymore. In terms of just where we stand as a week looking ahead and what we just came off of, I mean, the big thing last week on a national basis was the State of the Union address and, Valentine's Day. There was a lot of stuff going on last week. This past weekend was very busy. There were a lot of local events. There's a lot of organizing activity towards new things coming up and a lot of stuff starting to come into fruition. It's that we've been talking for months now about the pendulum swing, and it's way out over the good stuff at this point. We're not as reactionary as we once were. In Hudson on Saturday night was the big second annual Love Ball at Helsinki, and that's put on by Hudson Pride, and from everything we hear, they raised several thousand dollars, and it was a big success.
All right.
Also, just as a little thing, the Philmont Reformed Church, remember they had that horrible fire, and they were able to hold, to be back in the church this weekend. It was very celebratory from everything we've heard.
Okay, now that sounds good, too.
What I'm hearing, there's an interesting group that's been meeting in Catskill called the Catskill Action Team, or CAT. Everybody has to have an acronym these days. But they're kind of talking about ways of kind of pumping up the economy it's almost, down here where I am right now in Virginia, they call them come-ears, this is kind of an old school. People have been here for a long while, and we have a similar situation up in our area where there are those who are kind of been around for a long time, the local newer groups of people, and Catskill Action Team, like a lot of other activities that we end up reporting on at GXC, are the newer efforts to kind of reactivate the economy, to find a new route into things. In the older school, we have the cats on Main Street. We have our usual fundraisers, our big Beaux-Arts balls and things like that. And now there's a lot of other newer people in the area who are looking to do something a little bit more active. And one of the things coming up for Catskill right now is the idea of doing a food vendor festival at some point next summer. On a similar note, I noticed there's a piece in the Register Star today about a group that's come together over in Harlemville near the Hawthorne Valley School that's looking to initiate a Columbia Art School, Columbia County Art School, for the visual arts, and they're looking at an old meeting building over there and having something come together in the coming months. So you have all of that kind of new activity going on at the same time as one of those big weekends where all the final sign-ups for Little League was going on all over the area. Cub Scouts were out having their blue and gold dinners and getting ready for their Pinewood Derbies. In the local schools, there's a lot of you know, kids are all rehearsing for their school plays that'll be coming up in a month or so. There's just a lot of activity out there right now. And, you know, the one thing you're not going to see around this past weekend or today or tomorrow are many of our local municipal leaders. And it turns out it's because they're down in New York City at the New York Association of Towns meetings. And that's where everybody goes to kind of, you know, find out share ideas, share knowledge. It's a lot of seminars on taxation, on how to meet your 2% tax cap, how to deal with mandates, right down to things like how to deal with sewer systems, how to prepare one's roads for you know, the changes in climate that have been going on. And so most of our municipal leaders are down in New York right now going to all of those, and we'll be sure to get some reports from people on how that went for next week.
Yeah, well, so they're all down in the Big Apple.
Yep, yeah, they all meet at the Hilton. I went, you know, several times I've gone over you know, my lifetime reporting. You know, it was based largely because when I first heard about these things, there were all these rumors that, oh, yeah, everybody would go down and just go drinking, basically, or just carousing in New York City. But you go down and they're working really hard. They're actually kind of cowered in the Hilton. You know, not going out that much. You know, there's a few big party events thrown by, you know, lobbying groups in Albany and the like. But you get the governor coming out, the lieutenant governor. You get explanations on how towns can apply for, you know, funding through the Department of State, through Better Communities. You get, you know, people dealing with how, say, the safety net works in terms of how towns pay in for social services on a county level. I mean, all of this stuff gets worked out in these big meetings. But the biggest thing is that you get, you know, all the towns, basically all of upstate elected officials together in one space, and they're sharing ideas and, you know, getting an idea that, hey, they're not reinventing the wheel every time they face a new challenge, that, you know, somebody else has dealt with it. And it builds confidence, and it helps us all kind of keep moving. The local school boards do something like this as well on a national basis. It took place down in Washington a couple weeks ago. And the interesting thing there was that there were a lot of calls then for a return to No Child Left Behind, which was kind of a surprise, but it wasn't for the strictures and the end results as much as for the funding. You know, everybody wants some new funding stream to come in their schools and their towns so that they can find a way of matching the 2% tax cap and the increasing mandates at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So beyond that, the other kind of interesting thing happening on a big regional basis is this reaction to the SAFE Act, the gun control efforts that were...
Wow, what a reaction.
Huh?
What a reaction is coming out.
I know. And it's but you know what's happening is that it seems to be, I mean, it's very similar to what we saw during the State of the Union speech where, you know, John Boehner, right behind the president, just did not stand when there was a call for sympathy for the families of all the kids, you know, who died in Newtown. And it was like, what's going on here? And it's just, it's a political ploy, it seems, to raise the Second Amendment up as a, kind of a, such a big issue when nobody's saying they're going to take away guns. They're just saying, let's try to control the setting some. And,
well, I think I think some of the actions on behalf of those who want gun control they haven't been as extreme as the other side, but we don't seem to be talking to each other. We seem to be talking at each other.
Right, and it's also an odd situation. I mean, I mean to ask both houses of the state legislature and the governor to retract something that was passed, and based on it's like they're throwing in the kitchen sink in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. what they're saying is wrong with it. The basic idea is that everybody wants to have the ability to defend themselves any way they want to. You know, and there are limits on that, but what it is doing is that it's taking up a lot of legislative time, and it's kind of exacerbating these old splits between upstate and downstate, which never did anybody any good in New York. So, there's a big meeting going on tomorrow in Ulster County where the county legislature has a resolution to call for the rescinding of the SAFE Act, and they moved their meeting to UPAC, the Ulster Performing Arts Center, which is the largest auditorium room between New York City and Albany. It holds over 1,000 people, and they're expecting to fill it. And they're expecting for some people to come armed to the thing. And this is just, you know, now you've got Wayne Steenberg, the head of the Greene County Legislature, calling for a vote on all of this later this week. And then there's a meeting, I believe it's next week in Hudson, and it's a committee meeting where I've been watching the Patriot circles, the Tea Party email threads, and they're calling for a large turnout in Hudson because Hudson's looking at at making gun laws even stricter in the city of Hudson because they have, you know, some gun violence problems there too. And, you know, just be interesting to see how far this goes. Is it just a distraction? Is it a way of just showing power at this point? It's an interesting discussion, and it's not a discussion that anybody was really expecting us to come down to, you know, our gun rights being our most important right.
Yeah, I hope, and I don't know how if it's possible, but I think we need a cooling off period, so both sides will stop poking each other in the eye long enough to talk.
That won't happen until May. Sorry to say, but you know, I mean, it just tends to happen that March and April are when our hot subjects always heat up even farther. It's the mud season, and it's mucky, and it's we always tend to focus on something that gets people really riled up, and then people cool off come May in the summer. So, I think there's a seasonal element to all of this too, and also just a sense it's become a battle cry. The Republicans are feeling really hurt of late, and
mm-hmm.
They've kind of taken this up as a major issue right now, and it's strange that this came up as a big issue and not immigration or many of these other things. And it'll be interesting now that, like, John McCain and other people in the U.S. Senate are saying that they can pass something to do with better background checks, and yet all these people against the SAFE Act are saying they don't want any background checks or any of that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how all that plays out. Going back to the good news on a local level, there's up in Tannersville on the mountaintop in Greene County, they had their second annual ice sculpting festival on Saturday, and we went through kind of right towards the end of it, and there's a pretty big turnout and some really nice looking ice carvings around. They also have had their first ever big event at the revived Orpheum Performing Arts Center there, where they had a New York State Blues Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and quite a few people came out and just kind of helped give a sense of buzz to that town. All the ski areas are doing really well. We drove through Wyndham on Saturday, and Wyndham is just hopping. It's just, there's no place to park. Everybody's kind of hopping from restaurant to restaurant. It's become a real destination sort of place.
Oh, well, that's great news.
What was that?
That's great news.
Yeah. In terms of sadder thing, you know, the big news in the Catskill area was there was this a really big fire over, I guess it was early yesterday morning at Sunrise Farms, or Lasher's Sunrise Farm.
Yes.
That's over on Route 32 where they raise chickens for government. The government uses them for scientific testing. And, you know, nobody knows what started the fire, but one of the whole chicken barns went up in flames, and between 6,000 and 8,000 chickens are believed to have perished.
Yeah, yeah, I heard that this morning. That was disastrous.
That corridor, the 32 corridor, that's a few years ago, there was a tornado that touched down, like, in five places along there. It used to be kind of the pride of the entire area when it was the tourist center for Greene County and kind of the Hudson Valley portion of the Catskills. There was, big Carson City Western World. There was a mystery spot. There were all these Clyde Peeling's reptile land. There's, you know, bungalow colonies, the Catskill Game Farm, and it's all just kind of fallen away since. And there's a lot of, you know, going back to that split between the newer and the older populations up here, there are a lot of people who still want to see a revival of what that used to be, although it seems that the corridor has shifted. It's no longer 32 and has moved down to 9W, or actually across the river to 9. It's the more important corridor going up through our area now. But, again, we should do our disclaimer that these are our
Yes. You're listening to WGXC 90.7. Folks, we're doing it a little differently today because Paul is coming to us by the magic of telecommunications from Virginia over the phone. But as usual, the opinions expressed are those of the guest and the commentators, and not that of WGXC. We're just bringing you up to date on the ins and outs and happenings in and around the Greene and Columbia County areas. And as a matter of fact, if you know something that we're not talking about, please contact us at 518-828-0290.
On a statewide level, there are a lot of people who have been paying attention to the fact that everyone took a big breather on the whole fracking issue last week when the Department of Health said, hey, we need more time, so everybody kind of pushed back the deadline. Locally, what the big thing is, the first shots have been fired over the bows on in terms of local school budgets and also in terms of village budgets, which the village budgets and the village elections are coming up first in about a month from tomorrow on March 19th. And then a couple of months after that, we have all the school board elections and the school budgets. The first kind of big school budget news to come down in terms of budgeting was in Hudson, where they're looking at a $2 million shortfall. I remember was it last year and the year before, Catskill used this thing too, where they start off with a huge shortfall. Everybody comes forth, starts to talk about what they're going to save, what they would cut, and then gradually it works its way down to a 2% by the end.
Yeah, I was just saying last week in our weekly conversation with Ms. Slonica that this is, I love this time of year. When once March and April, when you get the school board elections followed by the budget elections, it gets a little interesting.
Yeah, at least nobody's blaming the teachers this year. They're looking at mandates in state. It's like there's a theme each year, and it tends to stick to it.
Well, you got to have something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, but at least the teachers are off the hook this year at this point. Although, you know, there was a situation up in Greenville where they're talking about contract and a new board member just kind of walked out of a meeting and was going to quit. I mean, the tempers are starting to flare, and you know those are going to occur, especially when you see school board members and left behind, which is not a popular program within the school population, you know there's a lot of frustration out there, and it's going to find outlets. Speaking of frustration, there's an interesting story this past week in the Daily Mail by Mike Ryan, who's a great veteran reporter up here, about a multi-million dollar lawsuit that's surfaced in Prattsville, and it comes out of Hurricane Irene from a year and a half ago, when a lot of cars got towed out of town just to make it easier for the recovery, etc. There's one guy who was doing all the towing, and everybody was saying, hey, he's charging way too much. He's charging like $1,000 a tow. And he has filed lawsuits against town board members, against everybody, basically, from libel and, you know, saying that, you know, he was misrepresented. And look for that to be a really interesting kind of fallout from, you know, the Irene tragedy of a year and a half, 2 years ago. Speaking of other kind of recent tragedies with fallout, that there was that fire in the center of the village of Kinderhook, and they're having problems now dealing with the building that's left that no one's done anything with, and they're trying to figure out what to do next. It's an eyesore in the center of what is one of, you know, for years has been one of our pride and joys as a historic town. Kinderhook, you know, just has a wealth of history and a long legacy. And how do you clear, you know, this blight up?
It's a very odd and attractive building. I pass by it every day on my way here and on my way home. And I like it, but it, apparently no one wants to claim or do anything with it, which is really a shame.
I know, yeah. You run into those. I mean, sometimes it happens, you know, there's a family dispute in the background of a building like that. Sometimes it's aesthetic that seems to be happening this time, or people just, a lot of times there'll be a question of whether there's asbestos and nobody will know who to pay for it or who the controlling agency is. It's just a, it's a hard situation, because the longer you have this situation in limbo, the worse it kind of scars and damages the community.
Right now it's boarded up, but by Kinderhook standards, it is an eyesore, because it's right smack dab in the middle of the town, by the town circle.
Uh-huh.
But it is such a nice looking building. I'd hate to see it being.
Yeah, I've always loved that too. It's a shame. Speaking of ways of dealing with such things and kind of looking to the future, the village of Catskill has finally, they're going to be holding public hearing this Wednesday night, and they're moving ahead with 18 pages of revisions to their village zoning law. And most of it are kind of minor little things, ways of kind of tweaking it, dealing with situations like this, like what do you do when a building burns in the center of a town. The big thing that they're dealing with there is just, for some reason they had had site plan review, final site plan review in the Zoning Board of Appeals, which is a more legal body. You know, the planning boards tend to have more of a sense of aesthetics and just the overall look and feel of a community. And their shift, that's the big shift there, is that they're moving their site plan review for specific requests, you know, for new construction, new building or changes to places, will go from the ZBA to the planning board. And that's more in line with other communities such as neighboring Athens, which has grown nicely in recent years. You know, it puts Catskill more in that league, you know, which will hopefully move them away from, you know, in the past, you can drive through the village there and see these, it'll be a whole street front of 19th century buildings with one kind of mobile home-like structure in the middle of it. And, you know, and those are difficult things. It's like this weekend we went up, you know, onto the mountaintop, and you go through Hunter, and you go through Tannersville, and you think, okay, this community, you know, feels together. It's got, it's all painted similarly. And then you come into the village of Hunter, and it's just, it's a mishmash. You go across to Wyndham, and Wyndham's doing really well, and you realize that, Wyndham has really strong zoning, that these local laws have a huge difference. Make a huge difference.
Yeah, they make a huge difference in how the community turns out.
Yeah. Other things, kind of on the crime level, there's that whole thing, and if you're interested in it, go to the Register Star for the past week, or the Chatham Courier. There's a business owner up in your neck of the woods who was arrested after a lengthy investigation for sexual misconduct. You've been following that some?
Yes, I have.
We don't need to go deep into that.
We can leave that one alone.
Yeah, on the Greene County side, there was another person had a slipped off Route 23A coming down Catterskill Falls and managed to survive. But years ago, I did a story on people who had fallen off that Catterskill Clove and Platte Clove, and it's a number of people. You get, they roll off the side, they get caught by the trees, somehow they survive, and then their tails just get bigger and bigger over time.
Yeah, but it once it happens often enough, you would think that maybe we could come up with a way to keep people from falling off that thing.
Well, one of the things along that line, another kind of background planning issue in Greene County right now, is that there's a number of people who are involved with nonprofits over there who realize that Catterskill Clove, both where the famous waterfall is and the whole drive up there, needs to be better protected. And it's they're realizing that right now it's kind of a mixture of the state and local towns, and what they're doing is just kind of closing down access as much as possible. It's kind of a mix match, and they want it to be either a federal national park or historic site or something, so that there's not only better care and more coordinated effort towards care for the clove, but also some funding to activate it, that there is, parking put in, that there are walkways, that there's no danger of it being trashed in any way.
Because yeah.
You realize it's a real national resource.
Yes.
And, it needs to be dealt with in some way.
Yeah, but it doesn't need a death toll, though.
Right, very much so. So those are the some of the basic things out there. It's a lot of, as always, a lot of stuff in flux, a lot of stuff being worked on. A lot of very positive elements in opposition to these bigger forces on a national basis or a statewide basis, which are seeing their effects in this like anti-SAFE Act movement and some of these other things bubbling up. At least like our school budget discussions this year are not reflecting something going on in Wisconsin. They have to do with how do we meet our own local, municipal, and community needs. And that's a good shift, and it's vital. A lot of people are working really hard at planning. The trick now is to get the different elements of newcomers and old-timers and everybody together on the same page. But that's what history tells us whether we're doing well at that or not.
Well, and I don't suppose we're going to see any you don't really get down to the nitty-gritty until those budget decisions have to be made.
Right.
And then you're talking about who's going to get cut or what's going to get cut. That's when I think you'll see
a
tad bit of controversy.
And then in the reaction to that, you get people deciding to run or not to run,
right,
and whether there are any real candidacies or not. Usually on a school board, there'll be a wave of candidates coming in at one point, and then everything will go quiet. Hello?
Yeah. Okay. That was a little click there, but I didn't lose you.
I think somebody's trying to phone through over here, but no problem here. Looking at things on the wiki level, kind of out there in history and background for this date, I found four really cool, weird events. This date in 1911 was the first airmail flight. Took place in India from Allahabad it went about 10 kilometers, 6.2 miles.
Oh, wow.
Pilot. another town. I would never have pegged the first airmail flight for India in 1911. that was cool. On this date in 1913, 100 years ago, Pedro Lascarán became president of Mexico for 45 minutes, the shortest term to date of any person ever, a president of any country. And I don't know the story there. I'm going to look up the story there. But I thought that was kind of fun. On this date in 1930, while looking at photographs taken the month before, Clyde Tombaugh discovered the planet of Pluto.
Oh, boy.
Yep, that was a cool one.
Which is not a planet anymore.
Right, I know, yep. But he had a good, 75 years.
he had a good run.
Yep. And then going back to the aeronautic level of things, on this date in 1930, Elm Farm Ollie became the first cow to fly in a fixed-wing airplane. And also the first cow to be milked on that airplane.
You know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Okay. So you can just kind of mull that.
Yeah, we'll just leave that.
Yep. In terms of birthdays, it was a very strange day in terms of birthdays, as you probably noted. Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono, John Travolta.
Yeah, Toni Morrison.
Yes.
The one that called me, Paco Rabanne. All I can think of when I think of Paco Rabanne is that scent. Sybil Shepherd, John Hughes, the American film director. And here's one, I don't know if you have her in your music lineup for today, but Irma Thomas.
No.
Do you know Irma Thomas?
All right, I she's not on my list.
Yeah, look her up. She was born in 1941, and maybe find her sterling version of Time Is On My Side.
Ah, okay.
It's just really something.
Irma, you're in the lineup. We're going to have to look for you.
Well, that's today, and then next week I'll be back in the studio.
All right. Paul Smart bringing us up to date on the happenings in our Green and Columbia County areas, as usual on every Monday. Remember, questions or comments, please get a hold of us. If we're not discussing something that you think we should be discussing, we won't know unless you tell us. And as soon as you tell us, we'll start talking about it. Right, Paul? That's what we do. You're listening to WGXE 90.7 FM, streaming live on WGXE.